Good afternoon, 4:30 and 88 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
There wasn't any need engaging with these people to even speak to them. You can't fix stupid. They don't want to know what's wrong with these shelters.
State Senator Tom Buford says some people prefer to remain ignorant about conditions in Kentucky's animal shelters. He wants a state task force to investigate.
Bath County voters continue their alcohol ban.
And Ohio lawmakers consider a major overhaul of their school funding system.
In sports, the Red lose the rubber game of their series with Tampa Bay.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Some clouds this evening with lows of 68. The complete forecast coming up after this news.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear has filed another lawsuit against Governor Bevin. Haley Hansen has the story.
Beshear says he will move forward with suing the governor over his executive decision to reconstruct several education boards in the state.
The governor simply does not have the power to dissolve a board, purge all of its members, and entirely rewrite the law.
The attorney general had held back on suing Bevin, saying he wanted to give the governor more time to alter his orders. Bevin did make a few changes, but Beshear says they're still not enough. I'm Haley Hansen.
State Representative Rocky Adkins is expressing doubt about the need for a special session of the Kentucky General Assembly later this year to address the pension and tax reform issues. The Moorhead Democrat and House Minority Leader says it won't do much good unless a bipartisan deal can be worked out ahead of time.
I believe that we can handle what needs to be handled in a regular session, and we'll be there in January, especially if there's no agreement. I would caution against going into a special session unless there is an agreement, unless there is the votes to pass both measures.
Governor Bevin has said he will ask lawmakers for a special session after August 15th.
By a narrow vote, voters in Bath County have decided to keep the ban on alcohol sales. According to WKYT, the final count was 1,536 dry votes to 1,492 wet votes. The election saw contentious debate, with residents like Dallas Wisman claiming alcohol sales would increase county revenues.
Because I think it'll boost our local economy, bring in new business, more job opportunities, revenue for the county to do stuff with. And now's the time. The time was 40 years ago.
Others disagreed, saying alcohol would have a bad influence on the community. In the end, supporters of the ban eked out a win by about 40 votes.
An arrest has been made in connection with a recent robbery at a Grayson bank. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, a suspect in the June 13th robbery of the First National Bank in Grayson is in custody. 42-year-old Charles Hupp of Lexington is being held in the Carter County Detention Center. He was apprehended by Kentucky State Police earlier the day after the robbery without incident in the area of Norton Beach and Kentucky 207. He faces several allegations, including robbery, theft, possession of a handgun by a convicted felon, and various charges of drug possession and trafficking. The KSP says Hupp is also a suspect in a recent armed robbery at the First National Bank of Rush. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Several days of rain in recent weeks have slowed progress on the installation of artificial turf on the football field at Rowan County Senior High School. Marvin Moore is the district's superintendent.
The compaction and everything is in. They're just waiting now to get that inspected, and they're going to start putting gravel on the on top of the compaction, the drainage, and then the concrete barrier all the way around the field is all in. As soon as they get the approval to start putting gravel down, that'll move pretty quick if the weather holds out.
Moore says after the gravel work is done, the contractor can start putting down the artificial turf. The $1.1 million project is still expected to be finished by mid-August. The field will not only be used for football, but also by the school's soccer teams and marching band, along with various other programs. The community will have access to the new turf field when Rowan High School is not holding events on it.
An Ohio lawmaker has proposed radical changes to the state's system of funding primary and secondary education. Republican State Representative Andrew Brenner unveiled his plan Tuesday before the House Finance Committee. He recommends tossing out all local school property taxes and bond issues and replacing them with a statewide property tax of 20 mils.
And to make up for lost property tax revenue, it raises the sales tax from 5.75% to 7.35%, or an increase of 27.8% in the sales tax. However, it also cuts school property taxes on average of 49.5% statewide.
Brenner says his bill would eliminate the funding disparities between school districts with a lot of industries and those with none.
Contractors building Rallin County's $18 million detention center now have its walls in place, and the work to put on its roof is expected to start next week. Meanwhile, Judge Executive Walter Blevin says a state inspector has issued two more small change orders for the project.
I think one was for $3,452. That was for some clip angles to help with the decking for the roof. And we also had one for, I think it was one of the bathrooms, didn't have the proper flooring in it or something, adjacent floor finishes to the toilet room and the locker room on a finished schedule, and that was about $789.
Blevin says the county set aside $900,000 to cover the cost of expected change orders when the jail project was first approved. He says they haven't even spent half of that so far. Rallin's new 275-bed detention center should be ready to open in January.
The manager of the Moorhead-Rowan County Community Recycling Center has one major goal right now: to expand the agency's curbside recycling program. Colin Alexander says while he'd like to see the service have multiple clients from all around the county, he's working on meeting that objective a little at a time.
I would love to see 100 or more households in Rowan County have this service. Right now we have about 65, so that's not quite doubling it, but close to doubling the size of it. So I guess that's a bit lofty, but I think it's doable.
Alexander says those Rowan Countyans who have curbside recycling really seem to like it, noting that the service only costs them $10 a month. He adds the biggest challenge in expanding the program is making sure there are multiple clients in certain areas of the county so that it's economically feasible for the center to send someone out there for pickups.
A statewide task force should be appointed to make recommendations on controlling the population and improving the care of animals throughout the Commonwealth. That's the view of State Senator Tom Buford of Nicholasville. The Republican says the conditions and practices at some of Kentucky's animal shelters are deplorable.
One time I watched in a certain county, and I won't say the name of it, but their way of euthanizing animals was to turn about 30 or 40 dogs loose in a gated area, and they set up on a hill and shot them with a 22. And after someone got there and stopped it, about half of the animals were still living, and they had to put them down in a more humane way.
Buford also thinks there should be a state department or agency that collects data on animal care and supervises Kentucky's shelters. He made his comments today at a hearing in Frankfort.
It's time for Kentucky to end its ban on medical marijuana, so says Louisville State Senator Morgan McGarvey. The Democrat made his case today before the General Assembly's Interim Joint Committee on Health and Welfare.
What we know, what all of us know, is that there are people who are suffering, and we are prescribing morphine for these people right now. But we're unwilling to give them marijuana to help them get through their chemotherapy treatments, or to help them digest food, or to help them enjoy the last months of their life. In my opinion, we can do better, and we should.
McGarvey is the sponsor of legislation that would allow physicians to prescribe marijuana for some of their patients. The prescriptions would have to comply with guidelines developed by a state panel.
Kentucky's senior senator is indicating that a rough outline of the Senate Republican plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act will be revealed tomorrow. Mitch McConnell spoke Tuesday during a press conference in Washington.
We're going to lay out a discussion draft Thursday morning. You'll be able to take a look at it. I think you've heard from some of my colleagues the likely highlights of it. And I wouldn't want to compare it to the House bill. It'll speak for itself. It'll be different.
After initially celebrating passage of the House GOP health care bill, President Trump last week criticized the plan. He called it mean.
Kentucky's top economic development official is convening a series of conferences with business leaders around the state to get their thoughts on making Kentucky a more business-friendly state. That's according to the General Counsel for the Economic Development Cabinet, Caroline Bassler. She says Terry Gill has already held one such meeting.
Secretary Gill and the governor have met with one group so far. They're planning to expand that, but they're looking at some of the larger companies or larger employees in the state and getting them together. And it's folks that might never meet because maybe they're not direct competitors or don't have some kind of supply relationship.
Bassler says Secretary Gill wants Kentucky to be considered among the top 25% of the states for business development and expansion.
And finally this afternoon, the Gateway Coalition for Workforce Diversity will be hosting a conference later this week aimed at improving employment opportunities for adults with developmental disabilities. The event takes place Friday at the Moorhead Conference Center. Regional Program Manager for the Kentucky Career Center, Jason Sloan, will be the event's featured speaker.
I'm going to be speaking directly about what the public workforce system is, what the role of the Career Center is, how we go about serving individuals across our region, regardless of whether or not they have barriers to employment, such as being underemployed, unemployed, the partners who are involved in our public workforce system, and what we do collectively to be able to bridge those gaps to help individuals gain meaningful employment to their next job stop.
Friday's conference runs from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. There's more information at 859-218-5970.
Taking a look at your weather forecast tonight, some clouds with lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of rainstorms developing in the afternoon, highs around 84. Tomorrow night, a 60% chance of scattered thunderstorms with lows near 71 degrees. Friday, chance of rain at 100% with potential for heavy rainfall and thunderstorms likely, highs at 81. And Friday night, chance of rain stays at 100% with thunderstorms in the evening, 1 to 2 inches of rain expected with lows around 65 degrees. Temperatures for the region, it's currently 89 in Ashland, 87 in Flemingsburg, 87 in Inez, 87 in Winchester, 88 in Lexington, and it's currently 88 degrees right here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
It is 4:43, and you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is mighty nice to have your company on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, Adrian presents the second part of his conversation with local artist Frederick Bonin Pizarro, whose great-grandfather was the celebrated Impressionist painter Camille Pizarro.
An artist is like a shaman, a spiritual person. If you go to Lascaux in France, you'll see that all those paintings were spiritually based. It's something for good luck, to entertain people, to amaze people, to get them together. It's to affect, usually positively, sometimes negatively, human beings. Historically, it's a way of being. It's not a profession. You can't be inspired by the gods every time you're behind a canvas. It happens, what I call the breakthrough, when the magic happens, or what other people call being in the zone, it happens time to time. Maybe out of 30 paintings, maybe one time. And you can control it. Sometimes things line up and pew! And that's the one you should keep. And you should discard the 29 others. But if you're an artist that wants to make a living at it, you can't do that. I mean, because galleries, they need paintings. So you need to have what they call a production, which goes against the grain. I mean, an artist is not designed to produce anything. The real artist is just an artist. It doesn't have to show anything either. An artist can stop producing something for 10 years because it's just not right at the right time. And also, you don't learn to be an artist. You are one or you are not. Now you can learn techniques, things that will help you along the way, but it's a way of life. basically. So that's the first contradiction, is that creating a wonderful piece that you don't have much control over because a lot of magic needs to happen and the stars need to be lined up the right way, with earning a living when you need to sell maybe five paintings, produce that many paintings and sell them and show them. That's a difficult task. And most artists are not doing well. It's just very difficult. The way I solved this, I was lucky that some wonderful woman took interest in my work, and she decided to be my publisher. So every time I have a good painting, I make a great photo of it, and she publishes print. And she sells the print, and I get royalties at the end of the month. So I can do a selection of the painting I want to show, and I can burn more than half my production usually. And then I select some of the paintings, and well, this one, it's worth showing. But you only have one original painting, so you can only sell this one original painting once. But with prints, first of all, it's cheaper, so a lot more people can afford it. And then it allows me to not be pressed to produce as many paintings, because I don't think stress is a good it doesn't work for me. Maybe it works for some people, but Camille Pissarro, the Impressionist, was my great-grandfather. He's always been around me talking about paintings, about art, about what he did, about the Impressionist. I mean, stories about things that you can't necessarily find in books, but that were passed on down through the family, especially about Van Gogh. I heard a lot of stories about Van Gogh that you can't usually find in books. But for me, it was just normal. It was, it was something, whatever. So... I would burn Pissarro's every day, like I almost did last week.
Talk about that.
Well, I was going through my studio, and I have different boxes with paper that I can use eventually. And I keep cereal boxes and things like that I can cut up and do collage with or paint on top or whatever. And I said, well, I'm not going to use this box. So I went in the backyard and I said, okay, I had a fire going. I'm going to toss that on the fire and be done with it. And then just before I go to toss it, I say, maybe I should go through it. Maybe I should, just look at it. And then I go through it, and then I see this craft envelope, this brown envelope. I said, what is that? And I open it up, and inside was two original drawings from Camille Pissarro that my father gave me a couple of summers ago that I totally forgot about. Fell back on my chair, and I almost fainted, thinking that it was going to be, ashes in a little bit. So, yeah, that's... And I was like, wow, close call on this one. Here goes the new call.
Thank you very much for coming and talking to me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome anytime.
That is local artist Frederick Bonin Pissarro on our regular Wednesday series, Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. 4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday, catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds got stomped again today by Tampa Bay, falling 8-3, moving them to 30-41 on the year. Starting pitcher Tim Adelman took the loss for the Reds, giving up 3 earned runs on 7 hits and 5 innings of work. The loss drops his record to 4-4 on the year. One positive for the Reds, Scott Schebler hit his 20th home run of the season. Now losers of 11 of their last 12 games, the Reds get tomorrow off before visiting Washington on Friday. Meanwhile, manager Brian Price says the Reds need to get more from their young starting pitchers. After watching rookie Amir Garrett walk 4 and allowing 6 runs in 3 2/3 innings during last night's 6-5 loss to Tampa Bay, Price noted that Garrett and his other youngsters have to do a better job of commanding the strike zone.
You've got to work on the plate, work on the plate. You'll give up hits, you'll give up runs, but when you race the percentage of walks, the number of walks, the number of pitches thrown, it'll certainly... The numbers will start to work themselves down in a better direction.
And some good news for the Reds. Reports say that veteran Homer Bailey could rejoin the club's starting rotation this weekend against Washington. He's been rehabbing since having February 18th surgery to remove bone spurs from his elbow. Other afternoon scores from around the MLB. Miami beat Washington 2-1 earlier. Boston leads Kansas City 4-2 in the 8th inning, and the Cubs and Padres are tied at 2 in the 7th inning. The Louisville baseball team is now in a win-or-go-home situation in the College World Series. Last night in Omaha, the Cardinals fell to 1-1 in the event after losing to Florida and pitcher Brady Singer 5-1. Coach Dan McDonald says the Gators just had U of L's number.
I think they scored 5 runs on, what, 3 extra base hits. You know, so it wasn't like we gave up a lot of hits. We didn't make errors. We didn't walk a ton of guys. They just, you know, they hit a solo home run, a 3-run homer, and a double to score their runs. So, but, you know, they're a good team, and that's expected. So we're looking forward to coming out Thursday night.
That's when Louisville faces TCU with an eye on keeping its national title hopes alive. Morehead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin and assistants are about to get busy. In a couple of weeks, the summer recruiting season will start, but for now, Spradlin says NCAA rules have him and his staff members bound to MSU's campus.
So it gives us an opportunity to really get to know these kids that we're going to get out and see in July. We're watching film on them, making contact with them and their coaches and their families, and just kind of going from there.
Heading into next season, the Eagles will have 10 new players on their roster. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is in Colorado overseeing the USA Under-19 team that he's coaching this summer in Egypt. With 3 of his Kentucky players going through the team tryouts this week, Hamidou Diallo, Kevin Knox, and P.J. Washington, Cal says it's giving him a chance to teach some of his new guys how he wants them to play.
You think about how we play and how the game, where it's going, positionless. Play basketball. Take somebody on the bounce. Get in the lane. Don't short dribble and spin. It doesn't work. It might work in high school. It doesn't work in college. It don't work anywhere. You got to get by people. Shoot jump shots. Go play. You know, and it gives us a chance. You get a chance to see and learn about your guys before the season starts, which is pretty good.
Calipari did announce today, however, that Kevin Knox has tweaked his hamstring and will return to Lexington for the rest of the summer to recover. P.J. Washington also suffered a minor back injury today and says that he will set out the team's practice tonight, but does not plan on returning to Lexington with Knox as of now. Hard to believe, but Andy Dalton is heading into his 8th season as the Cincinnati Bengals quarterback. Statistically, the 29-year-old former TCU star has had a productive career. He's passed for over 22,000 yards and 142 touchdowns while compiling a QB rating of 89.1. However, for Dalton, it's all about winning games, particularly in the postseason.
I think that's the most important stat at the end of the day. And so now it's just got to keep getting, for us, we got to get back to what we were doing and then win when it matters.
Dalton is looking for his first taste of postseason success. The Bengals have an 0-5 playoff record since his arrival in 2011. One other note from the NFL, the Raiders and quarterback Derek Carr are close to finalizing a new contract that will pay the 26-year-old $25 million a year, according to ESPN. In addition to keeping an eye on his players' efforts during conditioning drills, new Round County football coach Kelly Ford has other concerns to keep track of. Ford says he and his staff are making sure that the summer heat doesn't get to the Vikings.
We have plenty of water breaks. You know, that's one thing about it. You know, good thing about Round, we've got a full-time trainer that is actually one of my coaches on the staff. So he's with us all the time, and, you know, he keeps us in line on that aspect of the game.
The Vikings football team will break from its conditioning work this weekend when the KHSAA's summer dead period starts. It ends on July the 10th. And finally in sports, Churchill Downs wants to join other Kentucky tracks that offer wagering on historical horse races. Paul Miles has more on that.
The Kentucky Horse Racing Commission meets today to consider Churchill's request. Historical wagering is slots like gambling, with bettors trying to determine the outcome of a previously run race. Ellis Park, Kentucky Downs, and Red Mile offer historical racing. Opponents are challenging the game in court, saying it's an illegal form of casino gambling. I'm Paul Miles.
That's sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSU Eagles.
We spoke to him about their recent project, the list of the 100 greatest home cooks of all time.
An elite college ID camp on Sunday, July 16th. Camps are designed to help develop soccer players in all aspects of the game. More information at 783-2589 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mostly lower as oil prices failed to rebound from a sharp fall during the previous session, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 57.11 at 21,410.03. The S&P 500 was down 1.42 at 2435.61. The NASDAQ Composite did manage a gain of 45.92 to finish at 6233.95. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Energy stocks dropped 1.6% to lead decliners. The sector briefly erased losses after bullish supply data from the oil market was released. The Energy Information Administration did say that U.S. crude inventories decreased by 2.5 million barrels, and this provided a temporary lift to energy stocks and oil prices. However, the lift was short-lived, as by the end of the day, crude futures for August delivery dropped 2.3%, settling at $42.53 a barrel, and hit its lowest level since last August. Oil prices fell more than 2% yesterday and also entered a bear market in trading yesterday. In economic news, mortgage applications rose 0.6% as interest rates remained low. Existing home sales unexpectedly rose in May to the third highest monthly level in a decade, up 1.1% to a seasonally adjusted rate of 5.62 million units. And overseas, European equities traded mostly lower, with the pan-European stock 600 index slipping about 0.2%. In Asia, markets fell, with the Nikkei down almost 0.5%, and the Hang Seng index was down just over 0.5%. And among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Nike and Merck. The worst performers were Caterpillar and DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were CA and Advanced Micro Devices, and the worst performers were Chesapeake Energy and Signet Jewelers. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 28 cents at 66.83, Marathon Petroleum down $1.13 at 51.72, CSX up 7 cents at 52.20, AEP down 16 cents at 72.40, AK Steel down 3 cents at 6.20, and Community Trust Bank was down 70 cents to finish at 42.45. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyon.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting Fazoli's Freedom Fest on Saturday, July 1st. Music on two stages by The Wooks, Jericho Woods, Bang Bang, and A Midlife Crisis. Gospel showcase featuring Calvary's Song, Focus, Grace Note, The Son's Family, and The Well. Gravity Falls Motorsports Cruise Inn on Main Street, Kids Activities, and a Thunder Over Triplet Fireworks Show at 9:45 p.m. Activities begin at 4 o'clock p.m. Saturday, July 1st. More information on Facebook under Moorhead Freedom Fest.
Taking a look at your weather forecast, tonight partly cloudy, lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, highs at 84. Tomorrow night, chance of rain goes up to 60% with scattered thunderstorms likely, lows at 71 degrees. Friday, chance of rain at 100% with thunderstorms likely and a potential for heavy rainfall, highs at 81. Friday night, chance of rain sticks near 100%. Heavy rainfall expected, thunderstorms in the evening with 1 to 2 inches of rain possible. Saturday, chance of rain at 40% with highs around 81 degrees. Temperatures for the region, it's currently 89 degrees in Ashland, 87 degrees in Flemingsburg, 87 in Inez. Winchester is sitting at 87 degrees. It's currently 88 degrees in Lexington and 88 degrees right here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that'll bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen, and our feature this afternoon came from Adrian Swain. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Davidson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte. Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.